great to be here this morning, and it's great to see you. I just want to thank all the visitors for taking the time to be here. It's just great. How much it encourages to see the heart of other people. It's great, and God knows our hearts. So thank you for being here. I told Ozzy before, I said I'm kind of nervous, more so than this morning than usual, because I got an authentic preacher in our audience, you know, that isn't usually here. So, but he didn't seem to be too worried. So I hope as we look at our life needing to be accountable to God, you know, at the beginning of time, people had excuses, didn't they? What did Adam tell God in Genesis 3:12? This woman that you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. We sometimes try to pass the blame to others, don't we? Well, my parents didn't teach me, or, you know, my group that I run around with, they got me to doing things that I shouldn't have. It's so easy to pass the blame, isn't it? But it all comes right down to us, doesn't it? You know, we try to blame others so that we can defend ourselves, don't we? But it's, you know, it's our fault. I would just encourage each one to read the book of Ezekiel. The first 24 chapters of Ezekiel, the Israelites were trying to blame God for the things that were happening. And Ezekiel, through God's speaking through him, told the Israelite, it's not your father's fault that you're in the position you're in. It's your fault. He said, do we sometimes pay the consequences of our parents when they do wrong? Yeah. Sometimes the consequences that we face, but it is still our responsibility. You know, the way the world's going, it always makes me wonder, you know, our young people. And we need to teach our young people that you're the ones that are going to have to stand up to this world the way the way it's going. I just, pray for parents and the young people that they will take that responsibility and live a life for God, that, and God will help them. God is good. You know, in Ezekiel 18, I'd just like to read Ezekiel 18, 1 through 3. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and he's speaking to Ezekiel, "What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore." It wasn't because of the father's sin. It was each one's sin that set them apart from God, wasn't it? You know, I think of Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, and everybody can probably quote that for me, but I'm going to just look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, sometimes people say, well, God isn't fair, or he's kind of outdated. He dealt with people in different ways. But sin is sin, isn't it? You know, it always, as growing up, you know, when you read the scripture that said that Jesus suffered the same temptations that we did, but was without sin. Well, I don't think Jesus was tempted in the same way I am, but he is. He was, wasn't he? And yet he lived a life that was pleasing to his Father. You know, how do we always understand how God is doing what God is doing through us? You know, God knows what's best, don't he? And sin can hurt our relationship with God. You know, we need to accept God's laws, God's teachings, and never say that they're unfair or, well, God's just picking on me, because God is a just God, isn't he? We need to have the closest possible relationship with God, don't we? As we strive to do the best we can. And in Ezekiel, well, the first 24 chapters, when he was telling of the destruction that was coming to Jerusalem, it wasn't the father's sins that caused that, but because of their own. You know, in the first 24 chapters of Ezekiel, the word rebellious is used over 20 times. And it's to describe what the nation of Israel was doing. And so many times, you know, if as long as we blame someone else for our problems, it's an excuse not to deal with the problems ourselves, isn't it? Well, if I can blame somebody else for what I do or you know, what I'm doing, well, then I'm not really facing my problem, am I? Do I want to be, you know, do I want to be who God wants me to be? You know, and Ezekiel told the people they needed to wake up and accept the responsibility for themselves. So it's very important that we can repent of our sins and live a life that is pleasing to God. In verse 4 of Ezekiel 18, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins will die." He's pretty specific there, isn't he? Each one of us is responsible as an individual to God, aren't we? I can't, you know, as growing up and your children are growing up, you cannot. Your children can't live on your faith, can they? They have to develop that faith, that trust on their own, don't they? How, you know, are we accountable to God for the families that we raise? I think we are, to a point. God does give a free choice, doesn't he? And it, you know, but it's our responsibility to, you know, I think it's Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, "Raise the child up in a way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." How important, you know, how important that is to teach our children to trust God. Do they see that faith in us that we want for our children? I hope so. You know, I don't, none of us inherit our standing with God from our ancestors, do we? Do our ancestors, have they affected our life? No, sure. We may suffer from some of the consequences of our ancestors' sin, but we need to stand with God based upon our actions, don't we? You know, does membership in the Church of Christ, mom and dad go to the church, so I'm a Church of Christ member, or a Church of Am. It's not because of who our parents are or what our parents have done. Each of us is responsible, aren't we? You know, the scripture's pretty clear that the one who doesn't obey the commandments of God will not stand before on Judgment Day innocent, will they? I'd just like to read a couple verses in Romans 14. Romans 14, 10 through 12. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praises to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. So each one of us will give an account of our life to God, won't he? You know, as we live our life, who are we accountable to? To God? To one another? Can we encourage one another to do God's will, to follow God? We can, can't we? But it comes down to, am I accountable to God? Yeah. God is the person that I have to stand before on Judgment Day, isn't it? You know, accountability is that each one of us is responsible for our actions, isn't it? You know, not our parents, not our friends, not the group that we run around with, not our school, not our job, not your employer, not society. Not Satan. Well, I can blame Satan, can't I? But it's still me that's responsible to stand before God on the day of judgment. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and I think most everybody could quote that too, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Well, 15 is the verse I was looking for. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So it's important to approve ourselves to God. How do we know God's will? On 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13 says it is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God remains faithful, doesn't he? As we go through life, as we think of who we are accountable to, we are accountable to our Father, God, aren't we? The God that has given us life. Did he give us an opportunity to be with him in eternity? He has, hasn't he? And what a blessing. I just like to close in Galatians 6. You know, it's we are to help one another, isn't it? In 6 verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Then down in verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. So we need to help one another, to encourage, to help one another, to help each other learn, don't we? It's as a family of God, it's so important that we fellowship with one another, that we encourage one another, that we spend time with one another, isn't it? And it's such a blessing to have a high priest that was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. There's no new sin, is there? Sin has been around since Adam and Eve. And it's so easy to put the blame on others, but are we willing to face God with our problems that we can change? Or can I just, I'm going to blame my friends in high school because they didn't help me be a Christ-like person. No. They taught me that I don't want to do that. I want to follow God. And I just, that's my prayer for each of us, that we will help one another become Christ-like, to become accountable to God and to one another. Well, thank you for the lesson. Let's stand as we sing.